sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem.
Biz Talk Radio is proud to bring you Investor's Edge with Gary Kaltbaum. Straight talk about you and your money. You can reach Gary now at 877-747-EDGE. That's 877-747-3343. Here is your host, Gary Kaltbaum.
And welcome once again to Investor's Edge. I'm Adam Sarhan, in for Gary Kaltbaum, who's out today. Today is Monday, July 1st, 2019. We have a great show for you tonight. We want to thank you very much for being here. And I'd like to wish everybody an early happy July 4th. And everybody up in Canada, happy Canada Day. As you know, this is a show about you and your money and all points in between. Just as a quick reminder before we dive into this action-packed show, if you don't get the show in your city, you can go to GaryK.com. You can listen live or archive. We are live Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Also at GaryK.com, you can follow Gary on Twitter. You just press the button. You can subscribe and get Gary's morning notes sent to you directly to your inbox. You may email Gary, read the rest of his commentary, or ask about his other services. He's got a fantastic newsletter, which I read religiously, and I strongly recommend everybody as well. It's available at GaryK.com. Just click on the big banner that says Conviction Leaders. Or you can go to ConvictionLeaders.com and sign up directly there for a 30-day free trial. So once again, that's convictionleaders.com. And Gary posts there several times a week, but there's a weekend report, which is in-depth, gives you his stocks, give you leading stocks, his conviction stocks, goes through the market. He keeps you well abreast of what's happening in greater detail than I've seen any other research note out there do. And when market action moves, he'll publish updates. And in the middle of the week, Wednesdays, you get an intra-week update. And then you also get some more notes depending on market action. A few other things before we dive into the show. There was an action-packed news-heavy weekend, so I'm going to go through that, and then I'll do the update on the market a little bit after. But there's just a ton of news that I want to A, put in perspective, and then B, dissect for you. Because I get a lot of emails, and people are all over the place. And it's really important, ladies and gentlemen, just to step back and filter out all the noise and focus on what matters and what really moves the needle for you and your bottom line. And when you do that, it's look at the market. The news is important. We've got positive, bullish news. We've got negative, bearish news. You've got everything in between. The important thing is, how does the market react to the news? And you've heard Gary say that many, many times before. The key here is that understand that a market that cannot rally on quote-unquote bullish news, all things being equal, that's not a good sign, especially after a very long extended uptrend. And the opposite is also true. When a market can't fall on quote-unquote bearish news, that usually shows you, especially after a protracted downtrend, that the sellers are exhausted in the near term and the market may be about to turn. So one of the most important things that I always pay attention to, we'll get through the headlines just after I'm done with this little piece of perspective before I dive into it, is always, ladies and gentlemen, ask yourself, how is the market reacting to the news? And is that reaction bullish or bearish? So I'll explain that in more detail later in the show, but for now, let me just give you some of the high-level headlines that hit the tape since Gary's show on Friday. The first one, which everybody was going into the weekend expecting some kind of meeting between U.S. and China. Trump met with President Xi, and you basically came out of that saying, you know what, we're going to hold a truce or a ceasefire from the escalation. The trade deal wasn't settled, but it was a breath of fresh air to see that the calmer heads had prevailed and that the trade talks would continue. And the market initially gapped up on that news. Now, there was a G20 meeting. Some other side stories happened as well. But the real big headline was a dinner between Trump and China. And the outcome of that meeting was, okay, we're not going to continue to escalate the trade woes or the trade war or whatever word you want to use. Instead, there's a truce, ceasefire, and then now let's work again towards getting a deal done. That's the first big picture from the weekend. Now, as you know, love him or hate him, Trump has a fantastic understanding of how to garner attention and how to stay relevant in a very, very saturated environment. In today's day and age, it's 24/7 news. It's very easy to get, you know, drowned out. But once again, in Trump's, you know, in a Trump style, forget the commentary, positive or negative, in a very, very good, politically calculated move, and I mean good from a way of getting attention good, Trump goes over the weekend, instead of the headline being his dinner between, you know, him and his counterpart in China, he ends up making a surprise visit to North Korea and crosses over and becomes the first U.S. president to step foot in North Korea. Well, it was a photo op. He crossed over and walked right back over again. But the fact that he did it completely changed the narrative from, hey, the truce between China and the U.S. on the trade front, to now all of a sudden he's crossing the border. So, of course, the Democrats went crazy, as you expect them to do that, because they're rallying up now for the next election, which is next year, 2020. And we're in a situation now where you're going to see month after month the rhetoric heat up. The Democrats, as you go through the primaries, will slowly start swindling down. The weaker ones are going to fall off the ballot. And then it'll be to the final two or three, and then the final one, and then you get the back and forth between them and Trump. But basically, you're in a situation where they're really looking at anything they can to use against Trump. But to Trump's credit, and again, this is it's not a political commentary, it's more of a market commentary. He knows the two most important things, as Gary had mentioned earlier in his note today on GaryK.com, which is available for free with everybody, is that the most important thing is the market and the economy. Trump goes into the election with a strong market, all-time highs, and you've got a strong economy. I'm hard-pressed to see him lose, unless, you know, barring some unforeseen major, major, major catastrophe, which always could happen. You know, there's always a possibility, but it's just you've got to deal with the probabilities. So that being said, you've got the Fed, which has already made it clear that they want to cut rates as soon as next, you know, their next meeting, which is in a few weeks from now. So we've got to put all the pieces together. Outside of all the news over the weekend, the market gapped up this morning and then sold off all day into the afternoon. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is not a good sign. I'll go into the details on the charts and what areas to watch. The Russell towards the close turned negative. You've had a situation where the Dow was up 250, gave most of it back, and then, suffice it to say, when you have a market open higher on quote-unquote news, like what happened today, and close in the lower half of the range, that's not a good sign. Especially when the S&P 500, one of the major indices, tried breaking out and hitting a new record high. Again, so clearly this S&P 500, for those of you that are able to look at charts, for whatever reason, this 2977, 2964, 2954 area, between 2950 and 2980 for just the round numbers, has just been formidable resistance for the S&P. It tried breaking out today, you had some very heavy volume, sold off and closed in the middle to the lower half of the range. If you get a big, big, big rally over the next several days, that could, especially on volume, that could be a quote-unquote bullish sign. But remember, the markets close on Thursday for the 4th, number one. Number two, on these shortened holiday weeks, they tend to be lighter volume and they tend to be quiet. We do have a Fed meeting coming up, and we do have earnings season, which I'll get into later in the show, coming up as well. But putting all the pieces together, the big picture here that I want to the big picture message that I want to drive home here is that the market is doing its best to rally. You've got a lot of news coming out. The market continues to trade at or near all-time highs. This is the S&P, the Dow, NASDAQ, and Russell just below their record highs. But the fact that you opened higher and closed in the lower half of the range, closed in the middle of the range, not the best sign. Basically opened higher and then sold off, not the best sign. Doesn't mean the market's going to fall. Doesn't mean game over. It's just in the very, very short term, near-term resistance is being hit, especially in the S&P, when you can just go back and look at a one-year daily chart, and you can just see that resistance area of 2954, 2965, and then today at 2977. Clearly, every time the S&P gets above 2954 to 65 in that range, it's met with some selling. Now, it could rest for a couple days, could rest for a day, and then blast off. The other indices could follow suit. Who knows? Anything is possible. But we are entering earnings season right around the corner. And then, of course, we've got the Fed meeting. And I'll go into earnings up next because we've got a lot to cover on the earnings front, and I don't want to shortchange the earnings because it's really important, ladies and gentlemen, to step back and say, okay, let's put everything in perspective. And when you do that, it gives you clarity because you're no longer running around on the quote-unquote rat race, just always reacting to what's happening. Instead, you're able to step back, gather your thoughts, and formulate your own opinions. Because when you get a situation where you're able to make an opinion or you have your own opinion, it's an independent thought. You have conviction with that idea, and then more importantly, the market follows and confirms your thoughts. That's when you're really ahead of the game. As opposed to always playing catch-up. What just happened? Staring at the phone all day or staring at the screen all day.
It's time to switch on the integrator units and get the brain cells working.
You're listening to...
Hey, this promises to be fun.
Investor's Edge.
The last bastion of quality programming.
With Gary Kaltbaum.
It doesn't get better than this.
And welcome once again to Investor's Edge. In case you're just joining us or missed any part of the show, please feel free to go back to GaryK.com and you can pause, rewind, listen again and again and again to any part of the show. All the shows are available archive and they're available on demand on just about any device. So if I'm going fast or if you missed anything, just go back after 8 o'clock Eastern. Usually it's published or the next day at the latest, and you can re-listen to the show. So if you're just joining us, we spent the first part of the show going over all of the news that has hit over the last 48 to 72 hours and how the market has reacted to that news. Then I wanted to shift gears and talk about earnings, because now, as you know, the market is a forward-looking mechanism. And before I dive into earnings, I'm going to spend a few minutes here on something that's really, really important. And it's one reason, there's many reasons, but this is one reason why a lot of people just can't get ahead on Wall Street. And if you have any interest, feel free. I have a coaching service, or you can get in touch. You can go to adamsarhan.com. That's AdamSarhan.com. And you can get in touch there, or you can go to chartyourtrade.com and get in touch there as well. And basically what happens here is people have a tendency to look backwards. The market has a tendency to look, well, it doesn't have a tendency, the market looks forwards. So what happens is there's a big disconnect. And by the way, I have coaching services and advisory services, and I can work with you one-on-one if you want to dive in deeper. And in other news, I'm in the process of finalizing a book, and it'll be published by Wiley, available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon and all over the place, coming soon, hopefully within the next 6 to 12 months here, called Psychological Analysis. So I'll tell you more about that as it comes out. And it basically dives into this subject. You know fundamental analysis, you know technical analysis, but there's something else there. And that's what I've spent my career focusing on. And I call it psychological analysis. And basically, price is a function of perception. I can go on and on, but it's outside the scope of the show and it'll just take up way too much time. But again, if you have interest, get in touch. If not, that's fine too. But here's what I've learned over the years. And the way that I came up with psychological analysis, how many times have you seen a stock that has great fundamentals, great technicals, go straight down? Or the opposite, crummy fundamentals, crummy technicals, go straight up. So after years and years and years of banging my head against the wall and doing what everybody else was doing, I realized something else is missing. And that's how I came up with this whole concept of psychological analysis. But I digress. Let me get back to the point at hand here. So there's many reasons why people can't beat the market. One of the reasons, and I'm going slow here on purpose because I want to make sure I choose my words carefully, is that people look backwards. They have a tendency always to look, what just happened? Why did that happen? And the market's looking forward. What that means is all of us are programmed innately to want to know why the market went up, down, or sideways, or why something happened. Enter any reason anything at all. Nothing to do with markets. Just people always want to know why. We're naturally curious as human beings. And that's a good thing sometimes. And it's a bad thing other times. So what's happening is you're in a situation now where people, traders, investors, are too busy asking why that just happened, and they're looking backwards. Instead of focusing on what just happened, or what, more importantly, is happening, and equally, if not more important, what is going to happen, and looking forward. Present, looking at the present moment, obviously, and then looking forward. So there's two sides on every chart. You know, if you look at the, any chart, one day, 1 minute, 1 year, 1 week, it doesn't make a difference. There's the left side of the last tick, and then there's the right side. The only place to make money is on the right side. But we spend all our time looking at the left, because the right side, by definition, hasn't happened yet. So people, again, they're looking backwards, not forward. So then when you have news, you know, lots of times, especially over the next few weeks as we enter into the bulk of earnings season, you will see many, many times where the market, well, you see individual stocks where the market sells off on quote-unquote bullish news, and or vice versa. You see the stock rally on quote-unquote bearish earnings. And the question always becomes why, not the what. They're not focusing on what is happening. They want to know why. Again, it's subtle differences, but it's very, very powerful when you can rewire your brain and train it to focus on what actually matters, what moves the needle. And it's just realigning your sights to make sure you're looking in the right direction. So when you look at news or earnings or any data point for that matter, literally anything, it doesn't matter what it is. Earnings and news happens to be the two biggest ones, but you can look at monetary policy, you can look at fiscal policy, it doesn't make a difference. It tells us what already happened. Oh, the jobs report last month, housing claims, housing starts, doesn't matter, enter anything you want. Consumer confidence, it's always a rear view mirror phenomenon. Now, if you pull out of your driveway in a car, you're looking in the rearview mirror. Most people park forward-facing. They pull into the driveway at home at the end of the night. They wake up in the morning. They look back, and they pull out of the driveway nice and slow, and they look in the rearview mirror. But if you want to get to work, you've got to look forward eventually at some point. You can't drive to work looking in the rearview mirror. You'll crash before you even leave your road or your street that you live on. But with the market, people look backwards all day long. And people are people are people. One of the things that I've learned from my 20-plus years doing this and speaking to countless investors all over the globe and all walks of life, beginners, intermediate, advanced, professionals, novices, watching my own, observing my own behavior, coaching people, private clients, the whole nine yards, is that people are people are people. What I mean by that is human nature never changes. The trader in Australia is the same as the trader in New York, is the same as the trader in Wichita, Kansas. Born Vancouver or Dallas. When the stock goes up, you're happy. When the stock goes down, you're not happy. You can enter any other emotion you want. People are people are people. Now, you think you're different. There's a personal blind spot bias. We all think that's not going to happen to me. But the bottom line is we're all human. And if you have a brain, you have biases, you have cognitive biases, or you have a mind, you have biases. And biases aren't necessarily bad, but what's happening is that it prevents you from making rational decisions. And the other big reason why many, many, many people can't get out of their own heads or can't get ahead in the market is that they're stuck in their head. You know, Tony Robbins has a great line, you're stuck in your head, you're dead. And when you're able to get out of your head and enter the real world, that's really helpful, because instead of being stuck in your head and thinking that's not going to happen to me and thinking you're making rational decisions when in reality it can happen to you and you're making emotional decisions, it's important to be objective and really analyze how you make decisions and what's that about. So with respect to earnings, a lot of companies are issuing pre-announcements saying that profits might be worse than expected. Up next, I'll dive a lot more into that. And this is the one and only Investor's Edge. I want to thank you very much for being here.
You are listening.
listening to
America is Talking
Investor's Edge.
He's got to be pleased with that. The crowd is just on his feet here. He's a Cinderella boy.
With Gary Kaltbaum.
Comes highly recommended. You're going to feel better if you talk to him.
And welcome once again to Investor's Edge. I'm Adam Sarhan, and for Gary Kaltbaum, who's out today. In case you're just joining us, we spent the first part of the show going over the very heavy news weekend that we just had with Trump and China, and then Trump North Korea, and then we had a lot of other news outside of that as well. All that being said, what we'd like to focus on is how the market reacts to the news. And so far, the reaction is not that bad. It's not the best reaction in the world because you had the market open up 250 points and then sell off for most of the day before a late day little bounce here and heading into the close. But the Russell turned negative before the close, and it just wasn't the strongest reaction. Typically, you want to see a market open higher, hold on to the gains, and close in the upper half of the range near the highs when you have a news-type day. That doesn't mean the market's not going to rally for the next several days. And that's a very important point that I need to drive home, because people say, oh, well, you said it's not the best day. It's a very subtle sign. It doesn't mean that we can't rally from here. Yes, we can. So that needs to be put out there abundantly clear. It's just typically you want to, all things being equal, and of course there are exceptions to the rules, when you see a market open higher and close and then sell off and spend the whole day selling off, it's not really the best sign. Now, the next part of the show, we spoke about earnings. Earnings are expected to come down. I gave you a little taste of what I do with my members and the coaching services that I offer, as well as the advisory services. It's a really straightforward program. I work one-on-one, dive deep, and I help you basically break down the mental walls that are getting in your way of getting ahead. And what I mean by that are the psychological barriers that stop you from getting what you want. We all have them. You ever hit a wall? Everybody has. Well, I want to do something about it. I was tired after, you know, the first several years of trading and learning how to trade and figuring it out and doing this. It was like the same day, almost like Groundhog Day, over and over and over again. I said, okay, I need to change. And then I really dove in really deep and wanted to figure out how to change. What can I do differently? What happens when I hit a wall? Why am I hitting these walls? And so on and so forth. And now I help traders, from individuals all the way up to professionals, with that side of it, which is the psychological side of it. And then of course it translates into real world actionable trading ideas and strategies that you can use on your own if you have interest. And say it's very different than what most people talk about in markets, and that's why it's been very successful, thankfully, over the years. So the big part here is to think differently than the competition. You know, people are people are people. Like I mentioned earlier, everybody's happy when the stock goes up. Everybody's not happy when the stock goes down. Enter any other emotion you want. And the key here is to be able to look forward, not backwards, and focus on what is happening and what is going to happen, not why something happened in the past. You know, most people are stuck looking backwards. You can't drive a car always looking in the rearview mirror. But people trade markets always looking at the left side of the chart. Instead, focus on the right side, because that's where you can make money. So going back to earnings, this is a big part of what's going to be front and center over the next 6 to 8 weeks, if not longer. You have a lot of companies are lowering earnings for the last quarter. And the reason why is because of the tariffs and sentiment and global economic slowdown. I don't want to say outright contraction or malaise. We don't know yet. We don't have any projections. Well, we don't have any solid evidence for what happened in the global economy last quarter. But many, many people are saying, hey, the global economy is slowing down considerably, and one of the reasons why the Fed wants to cut rates is to keep the economy growing. So about, I think I read earlier today, I think the announcement was somewhere in the area of 75 to 80%. Let me get the stat for you. Yeah, it's 77% of companies are issuing pre-announcements saying that their profits are going to be worse than analysts are expecting. That's the second worst quarter on record, going back to 2006, according to FactSet. FactSet, ladies and gentlemen, in case you're not familiar with those guys, it's a big company, well-known, and they're very, very, very good at providing analytics and data to investors with respect to statistics based on what the facts are, is how they use it. And they can dive in deep to quarterly projections, companies beating earnings, companies missing earnings, so on and so forth. The big problems are, well, I guess the big sectors that are sensitive to the tariffs, mainly tech and healthcare, are the ones seeing the highest amounts of negative pre-announcements. So keep that in mind as we go forward. A lot of people are talking about, you know, I don't want to say an outright earnings recession, but let me speak about that for a second. So here's what's happening. There's two kinds of recessions that happen. There's an economic recession. It's defined by two consecutive quarters of contracting economic growth. And then there's an earnings recession. And that's just basically two consecutive quarters of contracting earnings from corporate America. And what's happening here is that just because you see an earnings recession doesn't mean that we have an economic recession. You know, most recently we had an earnings recession back, I believe it was the end of 15 into early 16, and then the earnings recession was over. We never had an economic recession at that point. Growth slowed, but it didn't actually get a recession during that time frame. And then, of course, 2016, 2017, and 2018, the market ripped higher. So, well, the beginning of 18, and then it topped out and then moved sideways until today. So you're in a situation now, just because you see earnings slowing down, and or if we do enter an earnings recession, it's not the end of the world. Now, it's not a quote-unquote great sign, because investors like to pay up for earnings, and investors like to pay up for growth, especially earnings growth. But you're in a situation here where you've got a lot of data coming at the market. So keep that in mind, that what I said earlier in the show of how the market reacts to the news. Because over the next 4 to 6 weeks, as we're bombarded daily with data, it's really important to step back and say, okay, how does this impact the market? How does the market react to that news? Because I don't want you to be caught off guard. And one of the other powerful things that I've learned to do is to incorporate the power of anticipation, expecting something to happen, instead of reacting and being caught off guard and always looking to the left, look to the right. So remember, there's only three things a market can do. It can go up, it can go down, it can go sideways after you enter. And you've got to be prepared for all three outcomes. Well, before I even get in, I've got a whole process here, which I'm not going to go into too much detail with, but I always know where I'm going to enter, where I'm going to exit, and third, how much I'm going to risk if I'm wrong. This way I'm prepared, and I can expect or anticipate what's going to happen before the week even opens. And that's tremendously liberating, because it gives me my time. You know, I've got a lot of people that work full-time jobs that can't look at the market all day. In fact, I recommend most people don't look at the market all day, because most people just get that what I call tickositis, and then the emotions take over, and they can't make rational decisions. Some people can look at the market all day, and they're very good at it. Most people aren't good at it. And instead of being productive doing something else that they are good at, they end up losing not only productivity from somewhere else, so there's an opportunity cost there, but they end up trading their way to oblivion because they're not making rational decisions with their money. They're making emotional decisions because they're looking at the market all day, every day. Tick up, tick up, tick up, tick down, tick down, tick down. Oh no, I'm panicking. Let me get out. Boom, they sell. The market goes back up and they're out. Or enter any other scenario you can possibly think of. I'm sure you've experienced it. We all have. So big picture, we're going into earnings season. I do want to step back for a little bit. I do want to focus on the importance of how the market reacts to those earnings. Today, net-net is not a great, 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 great day. It's not a bad, 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 bad day. It's a nice, nice, good day. We'll see what happens over the next several days heading into into Friday, into the weekend. Thursday, of course, is off, so I want to throw that out there because that is important. We have tomorrow, which is Tuesday, and then Wednesday. I will be here for the show as well, and I'll give you a play-by-play, and then Gary will be back on Friday for you. Of course, the markets close on Thursday. So just keep in mind, stepping back, big picture, the markets are all trading, all the major indices trading near record highs. It's not going to take a lot, ladies and gentlemen, for these averages to blast off and go topside, especially if we get a Fed cut. Now, and this is a big, big, big now, big caveat, if the market doesn't rally and the Fed cuts, that's not a good sign. If the market doesn't rally, let me say it again, and the Fed cuts, that's not a good sign. Let me ask you why. Why? Because that quote-unquote should be bullish news. And if the market can't rally on bullish news, that tells you a lot. And remember what I said at the beginning of the show, and if you missed it, just go back to GaryK.com and rewind it to the beginning. It's really important to pay attention to how the market reacts to the news. So far, today's reaction on the ceasefire from the trade war is a good one, not great. And it'll be interesting as we go over the next few weeks and see earnings and see the Fed. Up next, we'll talk about individual stocks and some sectors. I'm Adam Sarhan. This is the one and only Investor's Edge.
You're listening to...
What are we waiting for?
Well, what are you waiting for?
One, two, ready, go.
Action! Investor's Edge with Gary Kaltbaum.
And welcome once again to Investor's Edge. I'm Adam Sarhan, in for Gary Kaltbaum. Covered a lot of ground on today's show. In case you missed any part of it, please feel free to go to GaryK.com and rewind it, pause it, fast forward, and listen again and again at your convenience. For the last few minutes here, I know that this is the show's almost over. Where does the time go? It just flies by. But I want to go through some sectors, and then if we have time, some individual stocks. Overall, the market, again, good reaction to the ceasefire. It's set up nicely to break out, go higher. We have earnings in the Fed front and center over the next several weeks, of course, barring some unforeseen negative event. The market is poised to break out and go topside. For now, let's look at some sectors. The financials acting well. Nice little handle formed here over the last several weeks, and it's bouncing off the 50-day moving average, doing so on volume. Little breakout, or getting ready to break out of the high of the handle here, and that's the XLF. That I'm looking at. And of course, you can go through individual stocks like Goldman Sachs, gapped up today, Goldman Sachs, ticker symbols GS, JP Morgan gapped up as well, JPM, even Wells Fargo had a nice little gap up today, WFC, and then of course, Bank of America, BAC, gapped up as well, back above its 50-day moving average. So in general, the financials, good reaction to this whole ceasefire, and it's a good sign to see a nice little constructive action and see a nice little, you know, trying to break out to the upside here. The transports, IYT is a good ETF to follow that tracks the Dow Transportation Average, and it's just a group of transportation stocks. Setting up nicely here, it's below its 50, just got back above it, got above the 200, it's doing so today. Not really a handle per se, but it's breaking out of a nice little downward trend line going back several months. To me, this could be the beginning of a new move higher. And of course, you'd have an exit with the low from just 2 days ago, or 2 trading days ago, that is. But it's good to see the transports confirming what the financials are telling us and what the major indices are telling us that the market's trying to move higher. The semis, SMH, is another group to watch closely because as goes the market, as goes the semis, I mean, there's a good correlation between how the semis trade and the market. Not always, but it's good to watch it because it serves as a good proxy for risk and some big stocks are in that world. SMH is a symbol. It got back above its 50-day moving average last week, and now it's a little bit extended on the short term, but it is acting well. It pulled back into its 200, briefly broke below it at the end of May, early June, and now it's back above not just the 200, but back above the 50. So we'll watch that closely. It's just in the middle of its trading range. Go back to the old chart high from a few months ago, and you would have to expect 50-day moving average to be support near term here. A few other ones I want to cover. OPEC announced that it's extending its cuts for a few more months. So you can look at the USO, which is energy, or it's oil actually. And then I'll go into the energy ones. And interestingly enough, crude oil rallied into its 50-day moving average or the 200-day moving average, and now it's pulling back. So typically an area to short if you're looking to probe a short with a close protective stop on the upside. Again, that's not a recommendation. It's just a tactic that people use. Think of it as the inverse of buying in an uptrend when the stock or market pulls into the 50. So when you're below it and you're in a downtrend and then it rallies into the 50 and fails, that's typically where the short sellers go in and short because it offers a low risk-adjusted exit, meaning if it rallies above yesterday's high or even today's high or the day before's high, you get out and you risk a little bit. Now, a few other ones, the XLE, which is the energy, one of the energy ETFs, that's back above its 50. It's acting okay. The OIH, another energy ETF, is still below its 50. We'll be watching that one as well. A few other energy ones as well, but we'll leave that for now. Commodities, let me talk about gold, because gold has had a really big move over the last few weeks here. Gold is extended in the short term. It's acting well. It's on track. If you look at a longer-term monthly chart or quarterly chart, it's taking out highs not seen in several years. So 131, which is the old high from 2016, is definitely an area that should be watched. It's now at 133. The GLD is what I'm looking at. But if you go back to 131.15, which was the high from 2016, that was an important level. And then if you go back to the high of 133.69 from 2014, that was the last big level of resistance, which more or less GLD is flirting with right now. So you had a massive move over the last few months, I guess a few weeks here. It would be normal, perfectly healthy to see it pause, digest that move, and then blast off again. If it doesn't and just keeps ripping higher, then clearly we're in, I mean, you've seen massive volume come into GLD over the last year, not just the last few weeks. And you've seen a bottoming of sorts. So it's definitely one to keep an eye out. And then if you look at individual gold stocks, you can go through that, or you can look at the GDX, which is a gold miners ETF. And very similar action there as well. Acting well, I don't have anything bad to say about this except for the fact in the short term it's extended to the upside, so be very careful when you pick your spots. And of course, you don't want to be chasing these moves because they can always pull back and still be perfectly healthy, shake you out in the process if you chase, and then blast off without you. So keep that in mind as you go forward. A few other ones that I want to cover. I guess why not? So let's talk about SLX, which is the steel ETF. You know, we were talking about this whole, let me step back. So back in 2016, when Trump won the election, this SLX had a big rally. Everybody was hoping in the infrastructure plan that the steel stocks would just blast off and go. Even before Trump won, it was the steel stocks bottomed in the first quarter of 2016, had a massive rally all the way up until 18, and then topped out and kind of moved sideways to lower for the last several months. It's trying to bottom here. I'm not saying it's bottoming, but it's trying to. And if it can get going and break out and go topside, it's one that can just be a sleeping giant. I know that we're running short on time, so let me see if I can squeeze, one or two other ones in here. You've had a lot of these IPOs, speculative money, come into the market recently. All I have to say is just be very, very careful. I can talk about that again later tomorrow or the next day, because it's very tempting to feel like, oh my goodness, I'm missing out, whatever the case may be. But a lot of these IPOs take time before they go. But watch them, because when they start going, and if they break out and go topside after building an IPO base, that could be a good sign. And Uber's one that's doing that. That's all the time we have for today. I want to thank you very much for being here. I'm Adam Sarhan, and this is the one and only Investor's Edge.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of Investor's Edge on the Biz Talk Radio Network. If you missed any of today's show, or to get in touch with Gary Kaltbaum, please go to GaryK.com. That's GaryK.com. To reach Gary Kaltbaum at his office, call 1-888-422-5559. That's 1-888-422-5559.